Well, I'm glad to be here. I hear that testimony of my pastor. I think he was just trying to get rid of us. But it is a blessing. We still make it over there. And I gave my testimony a little bit at the men's meeting, but I grew up in the city and did not come from a church family. And God saved me at 23 years old in December 2005 and changed my life and gave me a life that's now worth living. And started in the bus ministry. The time I went to the church, pastor says, "Are you on fire for God?" Preacher Lou Guadagno. So I don't know what that means. I don't know. He says, "You want to serve God?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I have a heart. I want to serve God." And he says, "All right, we could go in the bus ministry." I didn't know at the time they let anybody in the bus ministry. No, but it has been a blessing. Been going to the bus ministry since I, at old time, that's how I met my wife. My wife was saved at a young age. She got saved listening to a Lester Roloff tape of The Mule Walks On. And she was in the back seat of her parents' car, and they were playing that. And she fell under conviction, and she said she didn't want to go to hell. And her parents led her to the Lord, and she was saved. And her testimony is even at a young age, she made decisions 8, 9, 10 to serve the Lord and to do right. And I thank God for a wife. Pastor Lou always says when he counsels and when he gave the name, he says, "I think you'll be all right because you have a good wife." Sometimes she carries me a lot. But it's just good for the opportunity. We were in the bus ministry on the east side of Buffalo for many, many years. And I wanted to be in the bus ministry till I died. I remember going down south to a big bus conference, Bobby Robertson's church down south. And I remember going to the big bus conference. And they said, "If you're in the bus ministry for 1 year, please stand up." Well, they had everyone stand up that was in the bus ministry. And then it was 5 years. If you're under 5 years, sit down. And it went to about 10. We were still standing. I thought I was doing all right. And then they said 15, 20, 25. They got up to 50 years, and someone was still standing. And I remember that night going, "Man, I want to be one of those people faithful to God in the bus ministry all those years." But God had another plan. Pastor Pete had the doors open up where he had the opportunity to go out to Cattaraugus County, Little Valley, and pastor called me in and said he wanted us to go with them. And he said, "You're going to have to leave the bus ministry. You're going to have to leave your ministries and go out there." And that was huge for us. We surrendered. We told everyone we were going to go help, but it fell through. We ended up never going out there. So for about a year at Old Time, we were sitting there, and I started teaching back into the junior boys class, which it was like at first I did not want to do it. I was in primary church for many years, and I loved the primaries, that age group. And I get to the juniors, and it's a little more punky, and now all of a sudden they're starting to talk back. And I said, "God, why? What do you got for us? We're supposed to..." And the first few Sundays when the buses were rolling in, I said, "Isn't it nice? We don't got to wake up to go on the bus." And then about two or three Sundays, it broke our heart. We wanted to be back on the bus ministry. And for a last camp meeting, we said, "God, what are you going to do with us?" And I remember my wife and I going down there and surrendering again and saying, "God, if the door opens up, we'll walk through it, whatever it is." Didn't know Pastor Cole, didn't know the Countryside Baptist Church and everything going on there. Remember driving by it when they were putting out the for sale sign. I remember looking at my wife and I was, "Oh, man, that's horrible. Another church being sold." Did not know that you guys have purchased the building and everything working out there and praying about it and all this stuff. We didn't know any of that. And we didn't know Pastor Cole real much. All I knew is when we had big events with Old Time and Faith, Pastor Cole was the man to give salvation, the plan of salvation afterwards. And I listened to him many times with that. But God opened the door, and we just stepped through, and we just want to be a blessing. We thank God for the opportunity. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Thank you for all your hard work. I mean, we feel unworthy, and which we are, but Christ knows and God knows, and we just want to be a blessing and be used of the Lord. And it's kind of a rocky road. Many months we were praying about it. I was visiting Pastor Cole, and April 5th was the grand opening. It was going to be awesome, April 5th. You know, you have dreams. I stay up at night dreaming, you know, how it's going to happen. And April 5th came and it went, and I remember sitting in the car and not being able to go to a church building because of the whole pandemic, and going, "God, what's going on? God, what's going on?" But God knows. He sends the pestilence. And in that time, as I was just sitting back and going, what's going on, Lord? This, you hear the end times and all this stuff going on. What's going on? And God gave me this message. I want to be an encouragement to you this tonight. And if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We hear the last days over and over now, do we not? And who would have known 2020? I made a joke this morning. I said they're going to have the timeline. It's going to go 2019, 2021. Let's forget about 2020. My wife, I'll tell this joke again. I mentioned it this morning. My wife read a post or pin or something like that, and it had, everyone knows Back to the Future, and it had Doc telling Marty, Marty, whatever you do, don't go to the year 2020. You might get quarantined. But it's crazy out there, and you hear all these things going on, and end times, and you hear no hope for America, and this, all these differences, and I'm sitting there, and I was discouraged. Really was, and God gave me this thought, this message. So we'll be reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start right out in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Don't we see that nowadays? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They despise those that are good. We see that today. And then we'll skip down to verse 13. And the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But this is our text first tonight, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Please bow for a word of prayer tonight. Dear Father in heaven, I come to you again, just asking you, begging you, dear Lord, to use me, dear Lord, as a voice. Dear Lord, I pray that I would not say anything that I should not say. And God, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit power, not so that I would look good, dear Lord, to exalt and to bless your people, dear Lord. We pray if there's anyone here tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear Lord, you'd convict their heart. Pray they'd feel uncomfortable, dear Lord, and pray they'd call upon you and that you would save their soul. And God, we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was sitting there and I heard a preacher come through and he was talking about the end times and he was using these scriptures and he's saying pretty much that this world's going down, and we know it's the beginning of sorrows. Pastor Cole teaches that about the pestilence and how God sends the pestilence. And we know in Mark 13:8, the Bible says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And we know that. Pastor Cole teaches. This is just the beginning. It's going to get worse and worse. And I was sitting there discouraged as a young preacher with things going on, praying that God would use us to plant a church out in Perrysburg. And we were sitting there, and I was discouraged. And God gave me this thought of continue. Paul writes this epistle as he's in prison in Rome. And he sees his days are coming to an end, and he's about to get executed. And we know that Paul was beheaded in Rome. And he's writing this epistle to young Timothy. And he's telling him that it's going to get worse and worse. But he says, continue. Keep going forward. And the things you have learned. We know, as I mentioned, as you compare it, I heard years ago of a preacher say it like this. It's like watching a NASCAR race, and you watch the first 450 laps. I mean, it's boring. Rather come out to Collins and watch the corn grow, you know? I don't know how you do it. And then, but the last 50, the last 10, the last 5, then it starts getting exciting. Now people start taking risks, and they might cut someone off to try to get into the lead. And I think of the exciting times that we're in, but they're also discouraging times. But they are also exciting times that we're in, knowing that the Lord's return is soon. And we see this here. The picture looks bad, but Paul is telling young Timothy, continue, continue, keep going forward in the things which you have been taught. Continue. young Timothy. I wrote here, Timothy, don't stop. Paul loves Timothy, and he's encouraged him to keep going on. And I want to look just for a few moments tonight, encourage you, Faith Bible Baptist Church, keep going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going on. It's not a time to stop. It's not a time to sit on the sidelines. We know here in this is called a pastoral epistle, as he's teaching young Timothy, he's teaching him to flee from youthful lust. He's telling him to grow up. And he's telling him all these things, how the world's going to wax worse and worse, and the troubles are going to come. And he's telling him it's not going to be a bed of roses, Timothy. You're going to go through some heartaches. You're going to go through some things. But he's saying, the Lord shall deliver you. God is for you, young Timothy. God is for you, and God is for us. And he's telling him to be strong. Continue. Keep going forward. As I think, as the Lord gave me this thought, he gave me this thought in Exodus chapter 14, as when the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for so many years, and that Moses and the 10 plagues and the death of the firstborn, and God sends the lice, the frogs, and they're on their way out now. God delivers them, and now they're wandering in the wilderness, or before the wilderness, and God leads them. And they get right in front of the Red Sea. And it looks like no hope. It looks like, now what do we do? And the Lord tells Moses, go forward. Go forward. Stretch out that hand. God will fight for you. But he's telling him to go forward, keep getting on. And same thought here today with the continue is God's telling us to go forward. God's telling us to continue. But in order to continue, we have to do something. We have to do something. God could have just opened up the Red Sea, but he says, Moses, stretch forth thine hand. He's telling young Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned. Continue. He wants us to do. So I wrote down here a few things that the Lord wants us to continue in. I'm sure you've heard this over and over and over again in a good church you have here. But one is Bible reading. Continue in the Bible. Continue in the Word of God. This Bible is eternal, forever. We have the opportunity to have a Bible and to read it. Continue in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's telling you, study the Bible. Study it. And so much as we see the crazy world we're in, we need to study and get in our Bibles more. I remember Pastor Nissan many years ago saying, know what you believe and why you believe it from the word of God. A lot of people can make up things, but where does it say that in the word of God? So Bible reading, continue in the Bible reading. Don't just listen to the news. Study your Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's very important, very powerful. This Bible is powerful, powerful Bible. Number two, I'll move right along. We do have pizza. Number two is prayer. Continue to go to the Lord in prayer. It's good that we pray for each other, and we should. We're commanded to. But go to the Lord in prayer. God is a miracle-working God. He's all part. He's still on the throne. You listen to the news. They don't say he's on the throne. But he's still on the throne, and he wants to hear from us. And continue to pray. Continue to go to him in prayer as these days are evil, as we see it wax worse and worse. Number three, and I'm moving quickly here, is love. Have compassion. Love God, right? And then love your neighbors. You can't love your neighbors unless you first get to the love God. Become a Christian. And God puts that love in your heart where you can love the unlovable. You can have compassion on those that probably don't deserve compassion. But we didn't deserve compassion either, and God loved us. Love your neighbors. Galatians 6:2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I was learning in the Thursdays listening to Pastor Cole and his teaching. The only time it's mentioned, the law of Christ is there, and it's telling us to bear one another's burdens. Especially as a church, we need to love one another, bear one another's burdens. And we also need to love the lost. We learn in Jude, and I don't think it's no accident. I believe this Bible is perfect, the perfect word of God. Jude is right before Revelation. And in Jude, it tells us in 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. We need to have compassion to love, show this world that Christ loves them, the gospel of Jesus Christ and love, and continue loving one another and showing the love of Christ. Four is, let God direct your path. Let God direct your path. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Isn't it just amazing that God, the creator of the universe, the one that made the stars also, that placed the stars there with his fingers, the Bible says, to just show his glory, wants to direct our paths, wants us to walk with him, wants to show us. God has our best interest. For many years, being saved, I know God's saved me, changed my life, I have a home in heaven, but it was that surrendering part where I fought, does God really have my best interest? Is God's way really the best way for my life? A lot of times we think, as I think also the young people would think, is God sitting there with a hammer, ready to put the hammer down. You know, if we do wrong and we do this. But God is really for us. He chastises us because he loves us. He's for us. And he has the best plan for our lives. In these last times, we need to continue allowing God to direct our path. Allow God to lead us where he wants us. And I believe he's leading us there to Countryside Baptist Church. And number five is abide. Stay close. Walk with the Lord. We used to have a brother that would come to our church. He says, be plugged in. Be plugged in. He's like, are you plugged in, brother? Are you plugged in? Stay close to the cross. Abide in him. He'll direct your paths. Walk with him. God loves us. He wants to walk with us. Number six is do right. Obey no matter what. Do right. Continue, young Timothy. Doing right. Continue. Doing right. Every time I think of do right and that just do right, I think of Pastor Jack Hiles, probably one of the best pastors in America. I never got to hear him actually preach in person. He pastored a church in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, a large church. Say 20,000 people attended every week to a service. But I'd listen to his messages over and over, and I listened to his messages. He's always, do right, do right, do right. No matter what, do right. Make up your mind that you're going to do right. Don't wait till the situations come. And then you're in a predicament. You say, now what should I do? No, already make up in your mind that you're going to do right no matter what. I remember him telling a story. He was a young man, and he played baseball, and he was the pitcher. And his team ended up doing really well, and they ended up being able to go to the state championships. And as they were going to go to the state championships, it was on a Sunday. And he had to tell his teammates, his coach, that he was not going to go to the state championships because he was going to go to church. Because that was the right thing to do. He said he already made up his mind that he was going to do what God wants him to do before anything else. And he said, I'm going to go to church. And you imagine being on a team, if anyone was on a team, imagine the peer pressure. Imagine what they said to him. They cursed him. They called him awful things. You're a traitor. And he had a pretty good position, a pitcher, I mean. Pitcher in baseball, he's pretty good. You don't want him missing out. It's like the quarterback. You're losing the quarterback in football. But he said, no, I'm going to do right. He got dressed up that Sunday morning to go to church. And he got dressed up. And who's there in the parking lot, in the church parking lot? His teammates. And they cursed him and they said awful things about him. And it was hard for him as a young man. But he said, God, you want me to do right? I'm going to obey God. I'm going to put God before sports. And he did that, and God used him, called young Jackie Boy to preach, and God used him in a mighty way. And he would go all over this country preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people came to know the Lord under his preaching. I mean, he pastored a large church, a few churches, and then First Baptist Church of Hammond, a big college there. And God used him in a mighty way. And then one day he was out preaching, and he was preaching to a large church. A man came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he came up to Jack Hiles afterwards, and he said, Brother Hiles, do you remember me? said, not really. You know, there's a lot of people. It's many years after. He said, I was on that baseball team years ago. He says, I remember when you went to church. And I was there cursing you, thinking, why would he go to church? Don't they know that they could go? He just could go next week? What if you miss one service? Is that such a big deal? And he said, but all those years, I couldn't get that out of my mind. Couldn't get that. Why? It always wondered me. Why? Why? And he said, I heard you were coming to town and preaching. I said, I got to listen to him preach. And he came and listened to him preach, and he got saved. You don't know what the outcome is, but it's always right to do right. It's always right to do right, even if it's not popular. So do right in these last days. Stay faithful to the church. If the church doors are open, stay faithful. I know with the whole pandemic, and sad to say, I never thought ever that I wouldn't be able to come to church. I remember over at Old Time, we sat in the car April 5th. We were supposed to have the grand opening at Countryside. I remember sitting in the car just weeping. God, what are you doing? You can't even go to church. You just took that for granted. Many times, you know, one of the kids had a cold. I said, oh, I got to miss church. The kids are having a cold. And now I can't even go to church, even if I wanted to. Just take it for granted. Stay faithful to church. And we know with the coronavirus, my pastor says, you know, be smart about it. Don't go to the emergency room and start licking the floor. I mean, who wants to be sick? But stay faithful to church if the church doors are open. Number 8 is grow. Let Christ perfect you. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has arrived. We're going to grow until we die. There's areas in our life that we all need to go draw closer to Christ. And nobody is the super Christian. You know, here comes the super Christian. Look at him. He could walk on water. No, it's a growing stage. Let Christ grow you. Let Christ perfect you. Be separate. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. God wants us to keep ourselves pure. God wants us to learn doctrine. And it goes back to studying the Word of God. And then he says, wherefore, in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not unholy things. God wants us to grow as Christians. God wants us to grow, and God will grow you. Gave my testimony at Hilltop Baptist Church, and I kind of preached the same thought of continuing. And I gave my testimony, and some of the testimony I'm not proud of. And I mentioned my past a little bit, and Bethany's like, why did you have to mention that? I said, I don't know. The Lord just led me there, and he mentioned things about drugs, that and the other, same as the men's meeting. I mean, give my testimony sometimes. I don't want to lift up my self or lift up sin. But I said, well, they're gonna trust me to go out to Countryside Baptist Church. And I just told them that I was a drug addict and all this stuff. I mean, and the devil just attacks. But I mentioned some things there. But I had to grow, and God is still growing me. I thank God that you didn't have to be all cleaned up to come to him. Thank God that he reached down and grabbed us out of that pit. Thank God that I didn't have to wear a new suit. I didn't have to quit drugs and alcohol. All I had to do was call in the name of the Lord. God saved me. And then all of a sudden, I didn't want to do drugs. I didn't want to do alcohol anymore. God started changing me. And then I realized, whoa, the outwards I thought was bad. Now God's being content and judging other people and all these other things. And we have, none of us have arrived. We need to grow. Continue growing in the Lord. Continue growing in the Lord. And lastly, preach the word. Be a witness. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 2, if I get back there. The Bible teaches us to preach in season and out of season. Especially now that people need the Lord. So we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and be witnesses to our co-workers, our friends, our family. The Bible says in, I'll get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. If they listen or they don't listen, God still commands us to be witnesses and to preach the truth. Darker the night, the brighter the light. People need the Lord. We need revival. What this country needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear all the issues going on, the racial issues, the political issues. I mean, famines. I mean, people are killing themselves trying to live. I mean, they're taking pills and drugs for pleasure. They're looking in all the wrong places. But the answer is in Jesus Christ. And oh, do we need to be a light to tell them the love of God? Don't stumble. I mentioned this morning. Don't stumble over the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a young preacher, I think I have to some new dark truth that someone's, you know, look at me. I'm a Bible scholar. But God showed me, don't skip over the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The birth, the life, the miracles, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. People need the Lord. We need to be witnesses, especially in this time. People need the Lord. Christ is the answer to everything. The racial issue, Christ is the answer. I don't think so much of it as being a skin issue. It's a heart issue. And people need, the only one that could give them a new heart is Jesus Christ. We need the Lord. We need to keep telling people the Lord. We still can live for God in this time that we have. As I was going through this, and I was discouraged, and I was saying, God, what's going on? The end times, listen to a preacher that's was right on, it's Bible, wrote many books, and he'd say that there, you know, this is falling, this is going on, and everything's, I'm saying, well, what, can we even serve the God? Can we even do anything for you, Lord? And God says, you can still live for me. Continue in things. Continue telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thursdays I meet with Pastor Cole, and just such a blessing, and I was telling Pastor Lou about this. I said, I don't know, I'm discouraged, Pastor Lou. I said, I'm discouraged, I don't know what to do. I hear the Lord's returning, and you hear all this stuff going on, is God still working, and is God going to build the church? And he told me the story. He said, in the 1980s, this now with this whole pandemic and things going on, people are talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it could be tomorrow, it could be tonight, it could be 100 years from now. Right. I know that there's no more prophecies to be fulfilled. Right. There's nothing holding back the Lord from coming back. Right. Israel's there. His people, the prophecies are over. Next one is God's return. And I was telling him, he said, in the 1980s, they would preach and they'd teach that the Lord's returning. He said, many people sat there and did nothing. He said, look, God's returning. Why build a church? For what, a year or so? Lord's going to be returning. He said, many people sat. Many people charged credit cards. He said, why pay my bills? I'm going to be gone anyway. This is 1980s. I'm sure a lot of them filed bankruptcy and went into debt. But he said many, many people just chose not to do anything for the Lord. They got discouraged. Heard the same message. Same trouble and thoughts were going on. And there's always been things going on in the world. And he said, but some heard that message and said, we need to continue. We need to get to it. We only have a short period of time. We're on the last few laps. We need to get to it. And the Lord used them to build great and big churches. A lot of the churches, I think this church here in the 1980s was founded, 83. And think if Pastor Cole would have said, the Lord's returning, what's the sense? Many people got to it and said, I'm going to want to be used by the Lord, and I'm going to continue doing what the things I know is right, continue telling people about Jesus Christ and preaching the word. And you see many churches, good churches today that are here because they decided, they heard the same message, they decided they wanted to do something for the Lord. So with the invitation is two questions here. As you could sit and complain and think this world is too far gone and do absolutely nothing. Or we could go forward and continue and the things which God has shown us from His Word, things that we know is right, and we could get busy for the Lord. Question today is, what will you do? By God's grace and the Holy Spirit power, we are going to go forward. We're going to continue in the things which we have been taught. We're going to keep reading. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep serving. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep going on for the Lord Jesus Christ and just surrendering our lives and praying that He would use us. It might get worse. I might go to jail for preaching the gospel. But I'm going to continue as Paul told young Timothy to do. So I hope I was encouraging. I just want to encourage you, church, to continue going on for the Lord. He's still on the throne. I read the end of the book, and we are on the winning side. And it might look like we're losing now, but we're on the winning side. I like that song, That Name is Jesus, where it says, all the great leaders who sleep in their graves one day will bow and proclaim that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's the God, the creator of the universe. He's on the throne. So as church, I encourage you, keep going on for Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray, and I don't know how we do it here, and then we'll continue the service. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, dear Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, dear Lord, to do anything for you. God, you are a good God to us. Lord, I pray for folks here today, dear Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts, that they would draw closer to you. None of us have arrived, dear Lord. And God, strengthen us, dear Lord, that we could continue in your word and continue in the things that you want us to continue in. God, we pray for the rest of the service. We ask these things in Jesus' name.